This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A lot of football on today's Daw Show, of course. However,
I love the Daw.
We'll also do some hoops with Udonis Haslam, member of the Miami Heat. One of the old guards in the NBA. We'll talk to UD. Coming up here in about 17 minutes from now, we'll also talk to Udonis about the big weekend in South Florida with the Miami Hurricanes dismantling the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. That comes up at about 20 minutes past the hour. A lot of football to get to, both college and the NFL, so hit me up on the phones if you want to chat about it, 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. The Dallas Cowboys and Atlanta Falcons yesterday may have played a de facto playoff game. Looks like both those teams are fighting for wild card slots if they make the playoffs, because I don't know if either one of them can catch the division leaders in the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints are cruising. In the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles have the best record in football. So Cowboys and Falcons yesterday might have been for a wild card slot. Advantage Falcons in an easy win.
Prescott on straight drop. Claiborne gives chase. He's got another one. He's tied a Falcon record.
How about that?
Adrian Claiborne has got his fifth sack of the day.
Why in the world do you keep letting that guy block one-on-one on the backside? By the way, he can't block Claiborne.
Well, the next guy has to get in there. He has to be ready to play, and you have to be ready on a moment's notice. Next man up philosophy is alive and well. So that's your job. That's your responsibility as a member of this football team and as a pro football player to be ready to go play. And, you know, we didn't handle the adversity of the day.
You think? Falcons radio on the call, Jason Garrett after the game. The last time one player did that much destruction on defense in terms of a sack total was Derek Thomas. 27 years ago. Derek Thomas is one of the greatest pass rushers ever and had 7 sacks against the Seattle Seahawks. Adrian Claiborne is pretty far from Derek Thomas at this point in his career. I don't know if we should bank on Adrian Claiborne making the Hall of Fame. So the fact that the Cowboys gave up 6 sacks to one guy tells you all you need to know about yesterday's effort. Missing Tyron Smith, no Zeke, Sean Lee out on defense, and that wounded Cowboys team had no answers offensively or defensively for the Falcons, and they never sent help on that side for the Adrian Claiborne problem, which I just feel is negligent coaching by Jason Garrett. A guy's got 3 sacks in the game. You want to double team him? He's got 4 sacks. You want to chip him? He's got 5 sacks. Want to roll a tight end over there? He's got 6 sacks. I mean, how does that happen? No Zeke is a real problem for the Cowboys because Zeke, like Aaron Rodgers, masks other inefficiencies. Zeke is not Aaron Rodgers, but in this sense, he's similar. Because Zeke is so good on first down, it gives their offense a very makeable, simplistic second and third down option. Because Zeke is so good in the red zone, it allows them to punch it in for sevens, not settle for threes, especially with an injured kicker. Because Zeke is so good, they extend drives and they keep the defense off the field. So he is the start of everything else that trickles down under him. Without Zeke, it's a problem. But more so, without an offensive line that can dominate, it's an even bigger problem, and that was yesterday. Alfred Morris is not Ezekiel Elliott. But if you have a dominant offensive line, maybe you can keep the defense off the field, and maybe you can slug your way to wins. But without an offensive line that just got demolished yesterday, and Zeke, the season's over for Dallas. Without that, it's game over, because they don't have anything else that can help supplement those two pieces of the puzzle. They're too important. Charles is in Birmingham, listening online to CBSSportsRadio.com. What's up, Charles?
Hey, what's happening, man?
How you doing, buddy?
It's about time somebody had some sense. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You just gave me an early Christmas present. Thank you. It's over. They threw. It's over. Don't watch the game Sunday night. Go to bed early where you can be on time for your job on Monday morning. Because you, after they get through getting beat down into the turf, then you're going to lose your job if you're late. So please, please, whatever you do, as soon as you get through eating, take a shower and go to bed. It's over. Jason Garrett is an average or below average coach. This is where he's been all this time. But you know Jerry Jones loved him. He loved him until he let Terrell Owens go. He had to let him go, didn't he? He loved him too. Then Tony Romo, he loved him also. Oh, just a sweetheart. Box of candy. Had to let him go too. Now we only got just two more pieces to go. Jason Garrett and the tight end. Make it a clean sweep. It's over. Take your tickets. Take your game tickets. Sell them. I should have known something was wrong when I was taking my son for a haircut. And the guy had tickets to the game. I said, wait a minute, these tickets are hard to get. I said, where you get them from? He must have known they was going to lose, too. it's over. It's over. It's over. I've been a Cowboy fan since 1978. I've seen the worst of the Cowboys and the best of the Cowboys. But when you give them six sacks in a game, and then you go over there, and then you go after that game and go get you something to eat, you shouldn't even want that need. You shouldn't even want it. If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you. Say, you the one gave them six sacks. We don't want to give you. We ain't got that. We ain't got no more food. I'm sick of the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm the biggest fan. I tell you this. Come to me, man. Don't go to no more Dallas Cowboy fans in America. Come to me, and I'm telling y'all, the whole world, it's over. I like you, Dak, but you ain't going to be playing in the season much longer. Because you're going to be hurt. It's over, 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 and I just want to hear your opinion about it.
You win. Charles in Birmingham on fire. That was one of the best calls we've had all football season. That was absolutely fantastic. If you go to McDonald's, they should say, we ain't got no more food. it was good. It is over. It's over. Look, the Dallas Cowboys are a delicate team anyway, because if you take one piece out, it's like a wobbly table. They're wobbly already. You take a piece out, forget it. That whole thing is falling over. And taking Zeke out is what happened to this team yesterday. Fell apart. I think they should have accepted Ezekiel Elliott's suspension early in the season. That means you would have him down the stretch. I would accept, if I'm the Cowboys, that suspension early. I think that was a strategic mistake. You take that suspension early in the season, and then you know you get him back for the second half of the year. When you've got to run the football down the stretch, you'll be in bad weather scenarios potentially, and you'll be in crucial games where teams have been worn down by the season. So Zeke is even more valuable down the stretch because defenses are worn down. injuries happen, cold weather. These are the situations he's a real advantage. It was a mistake to keep pushing this off, pushing this off, pushing this off. And right now, if the offensive line isn't the best offensive line in football, it's already over because they don't have anybody that can be Zeke. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Yeah, I think this is the beginning of the end for the Cowboys because they don't have Zeke for another 5 weeks after this. And from an offensive line standpoint, in Tyron Smith, they got to get him back. But yesterday, you just saw, they've also got to all play together at a really high level because without that, they just get exposed. Rob's in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 of CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Rob?
DA, I got to tell you, this is President Donald Trump. I had to use Rob as a cover. I didn't know if I'd get through. Before I talk about Ben, don't call me Bob McAdoo. I got to tell you, DA, you're fantastic. I love your show. And I had a fantastic show, as you know. Great show. Gave it up so I could become Commander-in-Chief. In fact, I was just telling Melania, I got to have DA as my new press secretary. How's that? New press secretary. Ben McAdoo, DA, what the hell is going on? This guy is tired. He looks tired. About as tired as Jeb Bush in the Republican debate. And here's what we're going to do, DA. I love New York. You know I do. We're going to build a wall around McAdoo's house. So he can't get out. He can't get out. He won't escape. And then we're going to make New York Giant football great again. Believe me, we're going to make it great again, DA. DA, I love your show. Thank you very much for letting me be on. And you have a fantastic day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That was good. Oh, those are two great phone calls. Well done, guys. Well done. That is fantastic. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, for Ben McAdoo, here is what I would do if I'm the New York Giants. I would keep McAdoo around, knowing that I'm going to lose football games with him on the sideline. I don't want to win any more games at this point. I want the number one pick or the number two pick. Now, I lose the tiebreaker, in this case, win it against the Niners. So if you're both 1-15, you get the two pick, and then the Niners get the three. I want to be above the Niners, and I want to try to chase down the Cleveland Browns. The Browns, though, you know, they're a strong team to go 0-16. It's going to be very hard to catch them. Very, very hard. You got to hope for things to kind of break your way, work kind of hard, and hope that maybe the Browns somehow fall into a win. But you try to lose, you keep the beacon of light on the sideline, and then you start Davis Webb, the rookie quarterback, and see what you have. And you have to give him at least a month. You know you'll lose those games, but you at least have to see what you got. Because if you're going to have the number two pick in the draft, or maybe the number one pick in the draft, what you have to do is assess, do we have a quarterback here, and thus we can draft somebody else, a different position? Or do we not have a quarterback here, and we have to draft Sam Darnold or a QB at the top of this draft because the Giants have the number one pick in the draft or a top five pick in the draft once every decade. Can't blow it. And on top of that, let's say Davis Webb comes in, plays pretty well, surprises some people. Then you know what? You can trade him in the offseason, let him go somewhere else to be a starter. You've drafted your franchise guy. And then you've used a number one pick on a quarterback and maybe gotten another couple of picks or one pick to use to help out all the other problems you have in that offensive line and other roster slots. But they've got this ridiculous consecutive start streak with Eli Manning that they want to protect. And I think they want to protect Eli in general because he's been a good soldier, a legend in the franchise, two-time Super Bowl winner. The Maras like to give a lot of respect to those types of guys. So it's going to be an awkward transition, but if the Giants were smart, you keep McAdoo on the sideline, you make sure you keep losing, and you start Davis Webb at the end of the season for a minimum of four games. When we come back, Udonis Haslam's going to join us here on the show. We'll also keep taking your phone calls on the football weekend at 855 212-4CBS, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can watch the show. It's a great watch as well in sparkling Technicolor. The guys on the digital side, like Cap, Andrew Kaplan, doing a tremendous job today producing as always. So watch the simulcast at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Get it on your phone right now. Watchda.com and check out the proceedings. You can also check it out online on your computer, on your laptop, on your PC, on your tablet, on your phone, or on your smart TV. WatchDA.com. So, this was an interesting weekend in football for a lot of reasons. I hope we're starting to see the best teams in football starting to play their best. Because I have been very critical of the style, the substance, the quality of the NFL this year. I think it's been just a lot of dog food football. And I've talked about the reasons why ad nauseum all season long. I think coaching is in many ways worse than it's ever been because there's no leash for these coaches. It's a very volatile industry. They start coaching for their jobs. They don't have a lot of experience. There's huge turnover, and they make stupid, bumbling, out-of-sorts decisions. From a polish standpoint, these teams are not ready to go in September because nobody practices anymore with two-a-days. Nobody plays anymore in the preseason. So it's rusty and clunky football. The NFL is so geared towards passers that if you don't have a good one, you are dead in the water, and we don't have a lot of great ones, which means you get a lot of bad football games style-wise. In fact, yesterday, the only game between two teams with winning records was the Saints and the Bills, and how'd that one turn out? It was a blowout. But what I'm hoping here is that we saw yesterday a bunch of what we think are the best teams of the NFL play their best. And if we're at least going to get that, then I'm okay. Then I'm okay. I mean, the Patriots went on the road to Denver, didn't play a clunky, sloppy game and squeak out a win. They usually don't play well in Denver, and they just dominated the Broncos. Now, the Broncos had a lot to do with that. I mean, fumbling the opening punt, dopey. Giving up 24 points in special teams, come on. I want my baby Brock picks. Brock Osweiler, bad. But okay, Patriots, good. Saints went on the road to the Bills. Played really well. Vikings, really good win on the road. Rams dominated the Houston Texans. These are who we expect to be the best teams in football, and they played like it yesterday. So if at the very least our best teams continue to separate themselves, I'm okay. What I don't want is never-ending slop fest between even who we think are our best teams at the NFL. Like the Steelers yesterday. What happened to Pittsburgh? Can you trust the Pittsburgh Steelers? There is no way they should be down multiple scores to Jacoby Brissett in the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. None. They were double-digit favorites for a reason. The Colts have the worst defense in football, and the Steelers bring in all of those weapons. And you're down by two scores? You need a comeback to win at the buzzer? Now, that's been a Mike Tomlin problem for a long time, that the Steelers play down to competition. That's what I don't want to see. The Steelers can be as good as anybody, as witnessed by their win over the Kansas City Chiefs a month ago. They were phenomenal on that day. They played a complete game. Yesterday, anything but. And now that the Patriots have started to figure it out, the Steelers and the Chiefs can afford no more losses. None. Because if you've got to go through Foxborough, it's a lot different than if they've got to come through you. The Patriots don't win on the road to the playoffs. They don't. Haven't done it for a really long time. The Patriots need a bye, and they need home field advantage. That's how they get to Super Bowls. You can't beat them in their house. They can't win away from their house. That's the deciding factor in the AFC playoffs year after year after year. Look this up for me, guys. The last time the Patriots won on the road in the playoffs, was it the 0-4 AFC title game? It might have been. It might have been the 0-4 AFC title game in Pittsburgh. They can't win on the road. So you've got to keep pace. And the Steelers did so at 7-2, getting the win, just like the Patriots did yesterday as well. And then next up, the Kansas City Chiefs have to do the same exact thing, even though they've taken on water the last few weeks. 0-6 playoffs in San Diego. Good one. The Marlon McCree game. That was when the Chargers were 14-2. Patriots went out there, 1-0-6 on the road, then went to the AFC title game against the Colts and lost it. So it's been more than a decade. It's been 11 years. Now, granted, the Patriots are so good in the regular season, they stack up a lot of wins, they win their division, they always open with a home game, and then they normally have a bye, and so they have a home game as well, and then obviously, if you have the number one seed, you have the AFC title game at home. But the Patriots, in those 11 years, have played two road games.
Both at Denver.
And they lost both of them in Denver. They don't want to go on the road. They don't want to go on the road. So you've got to take advantage of it. And the Steelers almost kicked away that opportunity yesterday. For Pittsburgh, it won't matter when you get to the playoffs because you're playing good teams. You should be properly motivated. You're ready to go. But guess what? If you're the Steelers, it's a way better road to get a number one seed and have the Patriots come through your house and get that bye than it is going on the road or playing wild card weekend, then having to go on the road in the divisional round, then having to go on the road in Foxborough like they did last year. They had to win in Miami, then go to Kansas City, beat the Chiefs, and then go to Foxborough. Too tough. Don't put yourself in that position. Almost kicked it yesterday. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. NASCAR Brian tweets, DA, could Ben McAdoo be the third Ryan brother? Hashtag McAdoo mental madness. Rex, I think he makes more sense. Rob, he makes more sense than what Ben McAdoo's talking about right now. McAdoo looks lost and sounds lost, and he's only making it more difficult on himself by being defiant in the media. I'm not saying you've got to admit that you're a disaster, that the team's a disaster, but you also can't kind of hide behind, I got to look at the tape. You don't have to look at the tape. We know you don't have to look at the tape. The tape tells you everything that you need to know, that this was a potential Super Bowl team, at very least a playoff team, that's playing like dog food right now and has one win and might go 1-15. Players have quit on Ben McAdoo, and this is aggravating to me. Is that when you see it, you're not allowed to say it because somehow it's this great sign of disrespect. I get it. Players don't want to be told that they've quit. They don't want to be told that they've given no effort because they give effort all the time, way more than we ever see, behind the scenes, on the field, plays that don't matter, away from the ball. I'm not questioning whether there are guys on that Giants team that have given effort this year, or given effort behind the scenes, or want to win, or have pride and integrity. What I'm saying is, there's plenty of guys on that team that don't. They have made business decisions because they don't believe in Ben McAdoo. You saw it again yesterday. They're taking terrible angles, not disengaging from blocks, not trying to make the player make the tackle. They're in it for themselves. He's lost Janoris Jenkins. He's lost DRC. He's got guys anonymously sniping at him through the media, and it keeps getting worse. They have quit, and it's okay to say that. the Giants don't like their head coach. At least most of them don't. Maybe there's a couple of them. Maybe Eli likes Ben McAdoo because McAdoo was his offensive coordinator. Maybe there are guys that like playing for him. Maybe a Landon Collins likes him, or an Olivier Vernon, or Snacks Harrison. It's possible. Those guys went 11-5 with him last year. But now that things have gone bad, a bunch of them are not playing for him. And that's the definition of quit. They don't care right now. So a lot of football this morning on the show. Also time to do some hoops as well. In Miami, there has been a veteran through and through that has identified and been identified with the Miami Heat. He is the soul, the heart, the guts of that franchise for a long time. He's been there for 14 years and part of all three of their NBA championships. That is Udonis Haslam. He joins us here on the show. UD, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, good. How are you about yourself? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And first off, I know you're a huge Hurricanes fan. What'd you think about Saturday's demolition of Notre Dame?
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. I try to explain to people that aren't from Miami how personal that rivalry is and has become, you know, to people that are from Miami, but they never really quite understand.
And so when you see Notre Dame come into that house and you see everybody in orange and green going crazy, did it feel like the old days on Saturday?
It definitely felt like, you know, being a kid again, you know, visiting the Orange Bowl games, going to the Orange Bowl games with my dad, and, you know, how you know, excited it is, how much emotion is in the stadium. And then I go back to being a high school kid, selling sodas and working the stands to raise money for my high school basketball team. So I had so many amazing memories with the Orange Bowl and with the Hurricanes as a kid. So, you know, all that definitely came back to me watching those games.
I loved going to the Orange Bowl. It was the Hurricanes through and through. It was creaky. It was old. It was falling apart. But it was that program's identity. And then moving to the new stadium, it never kind of felt like the home of the Hurricanes. Maybe for the first time Saturday, did they kind of own it? Did it become the home of the Hurricanes?
Maybe, but you never can replace the great food you go get outside in the middle of Little Havana. You can't get that back. So.
True.
without that, it's not quite the same. But definitely the energy and definitely I think the swag and just everything about you is back right now.
Udonis Haslam joins us. UD joins us here on the show. Now, I saw that maybe you were thinking about a turnover chain for your own locker room. Where's that process at right now?
Oh, it's coming along. It's coming along well. We're working on it. One of our assistant coaches, Chris Quinn, is a Notre Dame guy. So we had a little wager on it, and you guys just stick around and wait for it. You'll see.
You know, you've always taken your responsibility in the community really seriously. It's that bond that you have with that city, that franchise, those fans. You understand it through and through. How important has that bond become as you've been a professional athlete, played in that city, and kind of seen the ups and downs of the city? Feels like you've always taken it seriously, but how much more important has that become with the platform that you have?
I mean, as I continue to, you know, mature, and, you know, part of my maturation is just, you know, understanding how important it is and how powerful the platform that I have is. You know, it's bigger than basketball. And, you know, when you're young, you just want to run up and down the court, win some basketball games and have fun. But as you get older, you start to see the impact that you have on the city. You start to see the impact that you have on the community. You start to see the impact that you have on the youth. So, you know, with today, you know, being World Kindness Day, I think it's the best time to kind of kick off, you know, what we're doing as far as giving back and just helping others and just providing, you know, positive energy to people in the community of Miami and the city.
World Kindness Day kicks off a week of do good. So it's the second annual Do Good Week. And this is through the United Healthcare and trying to give back to Miami as well. And you guys as part of the Heat, part of this. So what can we do? Tell me about what we can do on Do Good Week.
I mean, it's a lot of things you can do. I mean, it's just the simple things. It's the small things that count. You know, help somebody across the street. You know, somebody drops their wallet. You know, hey, excuse me, pick up their wallet and pass it to them. You know, we're going to be working the streets of Miami. You're going to see people out with pink shirts, giving out flowers, giving out gift cards, you know, like I said, just provide positive energy and positive motivation to other people. Even as a kid, I was always one of those kids where we didn't have much, but we were always encouraged to share with our friends and share with others. And whatever we had, what's mine is yours. So, and I was raised like that, and that's part of my DNA.
Positive energy, positive mindset. That goes a long way, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. I think, you know, in my experiences, what you think about will grow. You know, so if you clutter yourself with negative energy and negative thoughts, you're going to provide negative results for yourself. But I think at some point, if you continue to think positive, continue to work towards a goal, continue to keep your head up, I think you'll reach that goal and you'll have positive things happen for you.
Udonis Haslam.
And that's not just for you. It's also giving back to the other people and doing positive things for other people as well.
No doubt. It becomes a cycle, doesn't it? Because you do good. You try to help somebody out. You try to treat somebody well. And then they keep paying it forward. It becomes a cycle. And everybody's helped out by it, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, definitely. I think about my role with the Heat right now. You know, having all the success that I've had on the basketball court. You know, right now my career is taking a turn where it's all about others. It's all about providing that that experience to these guys. It's all about, you know, teaching these guys what it takes to be a champion. It's all about teaching these guys what it takes to be a professional. So, you know, as I, you know, approach, you know, my career as where it's going now, you know, it's all about doing good and giving back and providing for these next generation and these millennials, because, you know, these guys work so hard, and I want to see these guys have the opportunity to raise that trophy as well.
Udonis Haslam, part of the Do Good Week. As we do good, we live well, we try to, and today is the first day of it as it kicks off the week, and it's random acts of kindness is what we can all do, which is a very cool lesson and a very cool reminder for all of us here on the show and everybody listening as well out there to CBS Sports Radio everywhere. Udonis, man, keep up the great work. I love seeing what you're doing, and thanks so much for carving out time for us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. And I just encourage everybody out there, if you're going to do something good, why not post it and hashtag do good. You know, continue to spread it any way we can.
Love it. Thanks, UD. Udonis Haslam joining us here on the show from the Miami Heat. Yeah, hashtag that bad boy. Do good. It's Do Good Week. You know what I say at the end of every show? Be good and be good to one another. It's also a do good kind of week. I love it. Good job by UD. Love hearing those stories. And you know, when athletes step up and take advantage of that opportunity, that platform, and use it for the positive, I'm all about those guys. When we come back, should Case Keenum.
Hole snapper and third string quarterback.
Should he remain the quarterback until further notice in Minnesota? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Takes the Pat Elf line snap. Fires right. Caught by Jarius Wright at the five. Weaves his way inside the five. Touchdown! Case Keenum just threw a career-best fourth touchdown with 12:22 to go in the third quarter. That one goes to Jarius Wright.
Third down conversions in the red zone. We were 5 for 5 today in the red zone, 4 for 4 inside the 5-yard line. You know, I think the extra work that we did last week paid off. Hopefully it continues to. Yeah, Case played outstanding.
That's Mike Zimmer following the win as the Vikings get a 38-30 victory over the Washington Redskins. And that was Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings on Vikings Radio, with your play-by-play call. So during the broadcast, the Fox team said that Zimmer told them Saturday night before the game, at some point, Teddy Bridgewater will be our quarterback. Which is kind of a bold proclamation, because Case Keenum's been pretty good recently. That's not information Zimmer needs to offer up. It's certainly not information that Zimmer needs to be open publicly about, to the point where the broadcast team is talking about it. This is how this works. Broadcast team comes in. They sit down with both coaches on Saturday or Saturday night. In that discussion, coaches could say, hey, this is off the record, but look for this. Or this is off the record, but we might try this. If, during conversation, Mike Zimmer says, yeah, you know what? I mean, we got Bridgewater back, and at some point, I'm going to go to him. And they go, like, can we go on record with that? Because the broadcasters aren't going to put Mike Zimmer on blast unless he agrees to it. They're not in that relationship. The NFL rights holders, Fox, CBS, ESPN, NBC, they let the other employees, the reporters, the guys that dig on this, the women that report on this, let them break those types of stories. The broadcast team doesn't, because they've got to go face this coach a million times over, potentially, for the next couple of years, the next couple of weeks in the playoffs. Doesn't behoove them. So I'm surprised that Mike Zimmer would be so open about saying, at some point, I'm going to Teddy Bridgewater. And them saying, can we go on air with this? And him going, yeah. Because while Bridgewater's an amazing story, and Bridgewater's emotion yesterday was something that we can all just relate to, this kind of striving to come back, his career nearly taken away, blows out his ACL, his PCL, his MCL, his knee is shredded, the whole team is devastated, one of the most gruesome injuries reportedly that those guys had ever seen, even though there is no camera of it, there is no footage of it, and Bridgewater taking 15 to 16 months to come back. He was supposed to be the starter before last season, 2016. And now we're almost at Thanksgiving of 2017. And he's fought back, and he's been a great teammate. He's been around the organization. He's been around the locker room. He's watched film. The guys love him. The coaches respect him. And that's what this is about. But as much as I love Teddy, and I think Teddy Bridgewater at his healthiest is better than Case Keenum, you can't rock the apple cart right now. You can't. Things in the NFL, life in the NFL is too... it's too delicate. You can't mess with a good thing. And for the Vikings, Case Keenum might be being motivated, propelled to that next level because Teddy Bridgewater's back, but he's also won 5 straight games. There's not even a thought of Sam Bradford anymore. He's not even active anymore. Case Keenum has had a Case Keenum-type career. Another journeyman veteran that bounces around like a McCown boy. He might as well be Case McCown. But right now, the guy's putting up 38, 33, 24 points in a row. He's won 5 straight. And how can you take him out of there? And if he has one bad game right now, how can you take him out of there? They lost Dalvin Cook. This is not a team that has a bunch of explosive playmakers. Yes, their defense is going to be their strength. They had not given up more than 20 points this season, all season, until yesterday. Think about that. The Vikings defense had not given up 20 points the entire year before yesterday. So they'll win. They'll go as far as their defense can take them. But you still need decent quarterbacking. You still need somebody not to mess it up. And right now, you just can't trust messing it up. Success in the NFL is fleeting. And Mike Zimmer can't afford to go there because you'll also lose some of the locker room. These guys are winning with Case Keenum. They're winning with this guy on the field. And Keenum made every throw he needed to make yesterday. You can't mess with it. So it's kind of amazing. I'm sure all of the guys in that locker room love Teddy. I'm sure they love to see this comeback. They want him. They want the best for him. But I'm sure they're torn, going like, well, we can't mess with anything right now because we've won our last 5 games. We've got one of the best records in football. Case just put up 38 points on the road. We can't make a change. Not now. Don't mess with anything, coach. And Zimmer, for some reason, said, I'm going to go to Teddy Bridgewater. I've got a plan. I don't know why you would make that public. I mean, to me, the only play here for Zimmer is, we're glad we have 2 quarterbacks. We all love Teddy in this building, but Case deserves to be the quarterback of this team right now. I mean, that to me is the easiest play here. We all love Teddy, but Case is playing great, and we want to make sure that we keep the good times rolling. instead of now you have hanging over this team, hey, coach said we're going to Teddy Bridgewater. At some point, when are we going to go there? That doesn't make any sense to me. Out of all of these NFC teams, it is as wide open as humanly possible. Eagles, Rams, Vikings, Saints. I mean, these are your potential NFC Super Bowl teams. So when it's that flimsy of holding on to command of the conference, you can't make a drastic change if things are rolling for you. When we come back, the Martellus Bennett situation gets shadier by the day, and the New Orleans Saints have a playoff-esque win. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.